Live from the Ken and Valerie Baker Studio at WHYY, this is Studio 2.
On a Wednesday, April 15th, welcome, 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 friends, on Into the Program. I'm Cherry Gregg.
And I'm Kevin McCrory, in for Avi Wolfman-Arrett. Now, Cherry, the genesis for this show started back in February.
Yep.
I saw an ad at a bus stop for this male grooming company. Shows an older guy with gray hair and a younger woman with red lipstick. Mm-hmm. And the ad says, you're 60, she's 30, we'll take care of the gap. Mm. And then I put in our Slack, our next dating show, The Taboo of Relationships Across Generations.
And I was on it. I was like, let's do it.
Yeah, you got a little twinkle in your eye.
I was like, ooh.
When we talked about it. But it did kick off this spirited conversation mm-hmm. on our staff.
Yeah.
Should we do this show? How should we do this show? And we ultimately decided, let's lean into it.
Mm-hmm.
There's a taboo, but that's what this show is about sometimes. Lean into the taboo, give people a place to have a conversation.
Yeah.
That's grounded in, you know, facts and experts, etc.
Yeah, and so that's what we're going to do today. We're going to talk about age gap relationships. And there's a lot to talk about here. When I was preparing for the show, I mean, there's so many feelings about it.
So many feelings. I think it's going to be a great conversation. Really looking forward to this one. We have an expert from Kinsey, and we mm-hmm. also later in the show have an age gap couple who's going to kind of mm-hmm. give us the firsthand experience of the challenges, mm-hmm. the perceptions, how they deal with it, how they navigate it. So that's always fun when we can get somebody who's directly impacted on these topics.
Absolutely. And we'd love to hear from you because you might be directly impacted as well. And our questions of the day are, how do you feel about age gaps in romantic relationships? And can a gap between consenting adults be, quote, too big? The number to call is 888-477-9499. The email is studio2@whyy.org. And for our YouTube and Facebook streamers, you can put your comments in the chat. I'm sure people have stories.
That's true. First, though, our trio of local news stories.
Yes. Starting off with L&I Records signaling that there were waived or canceled inspections. They are raising a lot of questions regarding that partial collapse of a Gray's Ferry parking lot that killed three workers on April 8th. NBC 10 investigators review public records tied to the commercial building permit for that project, and they report finding evidence that 58 inspections were scheduled between October 23rd of last year and this past March 16th, and more than half of those inspections were either canceled or waived, and it's unclear exactly why or that happened. And the types of inspections, they vary from initial site inspections to foundation wall inspections and foundation footing inspections, to name a few. And according to NBC 10, it's unclear whether the city's licenses and inspections actually did the inspections or whether they had a special inspector who was hired for the project. But this is raising a lot of questions. And experts, they told NBC that canceled or waived inspections, they are not a common thing.
Right. So that raised some red flags
yeah.
for the expert that they talked to in the story, who I believe was a Drexel engineer professor. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, the city is going to do this investigation. We have lots of questions into why this happened, who's at fault, potentially are there going to be criminal charges, and, you know, sadly, three people died in this situation.
Yeah.
It does harken back, and we were talking this morning, to the 2013 collapse of a building on Market Street, where people inside a Salvation Army next to a demolition site were ultimately killed. Seven people were killed
yeah.
in that mm-hmm. in that tragedy, and ultimately two people were held responsible there, and there was an L&I person who, you know, took his own life because he felt responsible. And it's raised all these questions about L&I again. There were all those reforms after 2013, mm-hmm. but is that department in the state that it should be? There was a 2025 audit from the controller's office in the city who basically flagged all these problems in L&I, calling for reforms. You've had advocates saying there needs to be more inspectors out mm-hmm. there to do all the work that needs to get done. So hopefully the city is going to take this really seriously, do the inspection, and come up with some sort of plan
yeah.
to follow through and make sure that stuff like this doesn't happen again.
And to be clear, L&I has not responded to requests for comment, so we don't even have
right.
Their point of view at this point. And Mayor Sherelle Parker has said that the city is committed to getting to the bottom of what caused this collapse. And, you know, I'll point out one more thing before we move on. I mean, a lot of these inspections were specifically tied to some of the issues that people, they're not sure exactly what happened, but this was supposed to be cast concrete. precast concrete. You're not supposed to even pour the concrete until some of these inspections happened. And it's unclear whether that took place. So, I mean, there are going to be a lot of questions for a while, and people are going to be watching the outcome of this investigation.
Yep. Story number two. Good news for Delaware County. The new owners of the Crozier Chester Hospital say primary care services are expected to return within 9 months. Okay, so the backstory here, you might remember, the hospital in Upland closed last year after the owner, Prospect Holdings, declared bankruptcy. That left the county without its biggest hospital. And then a new for-profit group called Chariot Equities bought the site in January, and they put together this town hall last night for residents to ask questions. Chester Mayor Stephen Roots was there and emphasized how much of a hole the closure has left in the community. He also acknowledged that Chariot Equities has a hard road ahead.
Mm-hmm. It is empty. There's not a bed or a bed sheet. There's not an oven. There's not a computer. There's not an x-ray machine. The place is empty.
So this new primary care service that they expect again in the next 9 months is the short-term fix. That's being done in partnership with the Independence Blue Cross Foundation, who's kicking in money to make this thing happen on a faster timeline. And then larger plans to reopen the facility are expected to take 2 to 3 years. They need to find some sort of healthcare operator partner, and we'll see where it goes from there. Community members, I think, are cautiously optimistic. They feel like they've been burned before, and they're hopeful that this works out, but they're not sure. And then you have all the people who lost their jobs when the hospital closed last year, 2,600 people, hoping maybe there's a path for them back to employment.
Yeah, I mean, the thing about it is when you fire everybody, when you shut down, when you sell off all the equipment and you go away, even if you don't go away for a whole year, you can't just come back and pick up where you left off, you know, because, I mean, there was disruption. You know, you lost trust with community. You lost trust with the people who would work there, right? They're not even sure if they can trust this new entity. And so, you know, and they have to build this thing basically from scratch. And I think, you know, but primary care is a major need. This region needs, you know, emergency services. They need primary care services. So hopefully they can fill that gap and hopefully rebuild the community trust.
Yeah. All right. Story number three, Cherry.
Yeah. A Philadelphia restaurant is getting national buzz as the best spot in America for free bread. The Atlantic has named the Cranberry Walnut Loaf at Park, which is a Stephen Starr restaurant located in Rittenhouse Square, as the best free restaurant bread in the country. Now, writer Katie Weaver has said the bread has, quote, an everlasting gobstopperish ability, okay, to harmoniously convey the sensation of eating an entire meal with dessert in every bite. So it's like meal and dessert at the same time. Now, I've never had this bread, so full disclosure.
I don't think I've had the bread either.
I haven't had it, but I, like many others, said, hold up, wait a minute. What about the brown bread at Cheesecake Factory? Mm-hmm. What about those Cheddar Bay biscuits at Red Lobster? And apparently, Katie heard from about 555 people, traveled 13,000 miles, and did consider those other breads. And so it made me wonder, like, what makes a good restaurant bread? Because most restaurant breads are just meh.
Yeah, those are corporate breads that you just mentioned.
Yeah.
Cheesecake Factory.
But it's delicious.
Red Lobster.
Pause, Kevin McCrory. Cheesecake Factory bread is delicious.
Now, we were talking earlier. I don't like cheesecake, so I've never been to the Cheesecake Factory because I didn't know you could get anything else in there but cheesecake.
You got to go because that brown bread, and it has a little, like, I don't know, some kind of nutty sprinkles on the top. It's delicious.
Yeah.
And, you know, our waiter, we looked eye to eye, and I was like, keep that brown bread coming. But I mean, this must be delicious because number two was Le Diplomat, also owned by Stephen Starr in D.C. And apparently it's the same bread.
He's got breads going this way and breads going that way.
Apparently it's the same bread. So,
but you got to love the free bread.
Yeah.
You get to a restaurant, you sit down. If you don't get that something free on the table, you kind of feel like you're getting ripped off a little bit.
I do. And I believe it's all about chi. It's all about energy. Yeah, give me some of that. Give me some free stuff, and then I'll buy more stuff, you know?
The energy. The chi I'll shout out, and I like this as a little hack for, like, I'm a dad of four, so I'm going to roll out with my four kids.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to go to the Five Guys, You get a big thing of French fries, and they love getting the free peanuts.
Oh, they
get the free peanuts. They're more about the peanuts than the French fries. They're just cracking into them. They're eating them. Now, that's a good chi right there.
Yeah, that's good chi. But I do think that every restaurant should give you something free more than water. You know what I mean? Like, whether it be chips and sauce, I think our producer, Debbie Builder, said if she goes to a Mexican or some kind of, you know, Latin food and they don't give her free chips and salsa, she's upset.
I got to shout out the Korean restaurants, too, because they always give you those little, like, kimchi dishes.
Oh.
And, like, that little cucumber
little
stuff
free
going
kimchi,
on.
I like it.
Like, that's high quality, like, free stuff on the table.
I love it. Yeah. Something else high quality, age gap relationships. We're going to be talking about that on the other side of this break. Give us a call, 888-477-9499. How do you feel about age gaps in romantic relationships? We'll be right back.
Supporting WHYY, Penn Medicine is helping to find new cures for cancer. With life-saving clinical trials and advanced surgical techniques, Penn Medicine is offering more hope for patients everywhere. Learn more at pennmedicine.org/cancer.
All right, and welcome back to Studio 2, putting the other hat on right here on WHYY. In Philadelphia, I'm Cherry Gregg.
And I'm Kevin McCory. Age gaps in relationships, they're taboo, they're often a spectacle, and they're the subject of a recent Netflix reality show called Age of Attraction.
Here, you'll be dating and even committing without ever knowing how old your partner is.
Are you ready?
Yeah!
I don't know if these guys are my grandpa's age.
But you don't know who the Spice Girls are?
I couldn't name one.
Best 3-minute date I've ever had.
I'm not gonna lie, I like the
you
mom
do?
Part.
Do you have mommy issues?
If you're not as hot as my mom, I'm not gonna marry you.
All that's left is revealing your age.
On average, couples in the U.S. are about 4 years apart in age. Bigger gaps come with plenty of assumptions, from creepy older guys to cougars and gold diggers. And while reality TV plays up the drama, many real-life age gap couples say they're happy, they're in love, and see nothing but a number.
We're talking about how we judge age gaps in romance today and how they impact couples and how public perception has changed over time. Joining us now is Justin Leigh Miller. He's a senior research fellow at the Kinsey Institute and author and the host of the Sex and Psychology podcast. Justin Leigh Miller, welcome back to Studio 2.
Thanks for having me here.
And by the way, for you, our listeners, I'm sure you have a story or two to tell. Our question for you today is, how do you feel about age gaps in romantic relationships? And can a gap between consenting adults be, quote, too big? Give us a call at 888-477-9499. You can email studio2@whyy.org. And if you're on Facebook or YouTube streaming, you can drop a comment in the chat. On YouTube, Rich from Bucks County says, the saying is, the acceptable age gap is half your age plus 14. I've heard it was half your age plus 7.
Yeah, well, Rich has got different rules. Apparently.
I know, apparently.
It shows just how much people think about this and might have different standards. So, Justin,
let's jump right
in into the conversation.
So, Justin, so what is it about, you know, this age gap thing that sort of strikes a nerve with people?
Yeah, so age gap relationships have been controversial for a long time. I've actually been studying this topic for the last 20 or so years, and I found that it just makes a lot of people uncomfortable for a number of different reasons. You know, I think people often make certain assumptions, stereotypes about age, and often will assume that age gap relationships could just never work if people are from, for example, totally different generations. So there's that idea that they just might not be able to function or might not be able to relate to one another. But some people also seem to equate age differences with power differentials and assume that there's something inherently exploitative about an age gap relationship. Now, I don't necessarily think that's true based on the research that I've done, but that's part of what the broader perception is that's out there. And something else we're also seeing anecdotally is that younger adults seem to be more uncomfortable with this idea of age gap relationships than people who are a bit older. You know, we see a lot of discourse in the popular media about Gen Z in particular and their discomfort with age gap relationships.
I'm curious, like, you know, when there's a taboo, it's often for good reason. Like, there's something, I don't know, genetic or sociological that over time we grew some sort of an ick towards, I guess, to use the modern parlance. Like, maybe you could outline why over the course of many hundreds of years, like, there was like this feeling like, ooh, yeah, that there's something there that doesn't look right and we shouldn't accept.
Well, you know, actually, if you look at this through a historical lens and also a cross-cultural lens, age gap relationships have actually been pretty common, but mm-hmm. particularly the dynamic where it's an older male with a younger female. The reverse age gap of an older woman with a younger man has not historically or cross-culturally been very common. And, you know, when I was doing my research on this topic, you know, 20 or so years ago, most of the stigma that was directed at age gap relationships was directed toward older women with younger men specifically. And if you think back to that period in time when, you know, for example, you had people like Madonna who were dating younger men, or Demi Moore when she was dating Ashton Kutcher. Like, anytime you had an older female celebrity dating a younger guy, it was this big tabloid sensation. And so there was something about that dynamic that made people really uncomfortable. But if you flash forward to today, people seem to be much more comfortable with the idea of an older woman with a younger man, but not so much with an older man with a younger woman. So I think there's actually been a more recent shift in terms of how we're thinking about age gap relationships. And I think this could be tied to the Me Too movement and broader discussions about power and consent and exploitation in relationships. And something there has shifted the narrative.
So interesting. MJ says, as long as it's legal, there is full consent and it's not being used as a power leverage for manipulation, it's all good. And so is it the number itself that matters most, Justin, or is it really about life stage, power, dependence? Like, what are we talking about when we say, you know, age gap? Because, I mean, 5 years, not that bad, right? But how big does a gap have to get before people start feeling like this discomfort you talked about?
So this is where it gets really interesting, because it's not necessarily always about the actual ages of the partners involved. It's also about the perceived age, right? So you can have two partners who are pretty close in age, but one just happens to look quite a bit older than the other. And they're going to encounter the same type of stigma as somebody who's in an actual age gap relationship, right? And sometimes, you know, you might have an older partner with a younger partner and they actually look pretty similar in age, but people don't become uncomfortable with it till they learn about the actual age discrepancy. Right? So there's something about, you know, when we learn or perceive that there's a big age difference between people, that it just makes them uncomfortable. And like I said, there can be a lot of different factors involved there. I don't think these relationships are inherently exploitative. Certainly you can have exploitative age gap relationships, but for the most part, in terms of the couples, the people that I've studied, these are happy, healthy relationships and are not encountering, you know, the same sorts of problems that people assume they are.
All right, Justin. So I've got two daughters, right? They're young, but let's fast forward 10, 20 years into the future. One of them shows up to, you know, the barbecue with a guy who's 15 years older. My natural instinct is going to be, I don't like this guy. And you're telling me that I shouldn't have that perception. Convince me.
Okay. So different people are going to have different reactions to this. And I totally get it. Like, I understand why age gaps make people uncomfortable. But I also understand that these are relationships where people, we can't always predict who we're going to fall in love with and which relationships are going to work out for us. And people might find different value in having an age gap relationship, right? So for some people, that dynamic really works for them, where the partners are bringing different things to the relationship, right? So an older partner, younger partner dynamic, the younger partner might be bringing some youth and vitality to the relationship that makes just for a more dynamic lifestyle. And so, and the older partner might be bringing stability and security. And, you know, sometimes people are attracted to older partners because they find people their own age to be too immature, right? And so having somebody who has figured out what they want in life, what they know that they desire, can be something that people find very sexy and attractive.
Oh, interesting. And our question of the day for you, our listeners, is this: how do you feel about age gaps in romantic relationships? Can a gap between consenting adults be too big? The number to call is 888-477-9499. The email is studio2@whyy.org. And on YouTube and Facebook, if you're streaming, you can drop your comments in the chat. Kent on Facebook says, I married my wife when I was 38 and she was 25. Put her in my own home immediately. She works as a high school teacher because she wants to. I gave her the option of being being a homemaker, 22 and a half years later, two beautiful children, thriving spiritually and financially, and no extramarital affairs. We remain happily married. Congratulations to you, Kent. And so, you know, I wonder, Justin, is an age gap just one of many factors that, you know, I mean, age is just one of many factors that people have to consider when deciding who their partner is? Because I think about, you know, other gaps like education gap. One partner can have way more education than the other. One partner can have different lived experiences. I mean, is it just one thing, or does this difference, is it somehow bigger, that difference, a bigger difference than other differences that couples may have?
I mean, it's a bigger difference from the standpoint of how other people are perceiving it, right? For many people who are in age gap relationships, age really isn't anything other than just a number, right? Because sometimes the people just connect mentally, spiritually, emotionally with one another, and the age for them is just kind of irrelevant. So I think it's really just more about the broader social perception. Now, you know, we can talk about research on attraction, and in general, people tend to be attracted to partners who are similar to them. Most people select partners who are similar in terms of age and who are of the same race and who are of the same educational and other backgrounds, right? We tend to be drawn to similarity, but at the same time, we also want some differences, right? Somebody who is perfectly similar to us in all ways can make for a boring relationship. Somebody who has some different life experiences can make, you know, a certain element of spiciness in the relationship that makes it a bit more exciting.
Can we talk a little bit about like where we actually draw the lines here, mm-hmm. right? Because, you know, Cherry and I were talking before the show, right? Okay, there's the legal age of 18, but mm-hmm. then it's like, but your frontal cortex isn't really mature mm-mm. until you're 24, 25. And does that thinking go into this, right? Because a 18-year-old with a 30-year-old is different than a 25-year-old with a 38-year-old or whatever, right? Like, how does that come into play, Justin?
Sure. I mean, I get it. And if you think about somebody like Hugh Hefner and, you know, the many younger women that he dated and was in relationships with over the years, like that struck people in a lot of ways, you know, made a lot of people uncomfortable. In terms of, you know, where we draw the line or the cutoff, it's entirely subjective. Like, we can't say from like a scientific standpoint, like here is the, you know, maximum acceptable age for an age gap relationship, or who is or shouldn't be allowed to be in an age gap relationship. I've seen relationships work where there's a discrepancy of 10 years, but also where there's a discrepancy of 20 or 30 or 40 years, right? You know, different things work for different people. But, you know, when you start getting into where do you draw the line? I don't know, because there just isn't a scientific answer.
So you
that.
Don't buy into the prefrontal lobe full development conversation mm-hmm. or theory?
Well, in that case, then we've got to shift like the definition of adulthood, right? So when can people actually make these consensual decisions, right? So we have an age of consent, but you know, if we're going to say, well, somebody can't be in an age gap relationship until they reach a certain age, then we're sort of shifting the lines of adulthood there. And so, you know, that has other implications beyond just who they choose for their relationship partner.
Yeah, well, let's bring in a caller. We have Diana from Layton on the line. Diana, you're on Studio 2. What's your question or comment?
Hi, my comment is I'm loving this conversation. And my husband is almost 7 years younger than I am. It's been a wonderful 25 years. Well, as he says, 90% of the time. But the problem has become retirement issues.
Mm.
Like we have a great life. He has a wonderful job, but he only gets 1 week vacation, and it's like we can't go anywhere. By the time he could go somewhere, I'm going to be, you know, what, 4 or 5 years older, and maybe I won't feel like going.
Yeah.
So that I found is the biggest issue, the retirement conflict.
Yeah. Well, thank mm-hmm. you so much. That's Diana from Layton on the line. By the way, how do you feel about age gaps in romantic relationships? And can a gap be between two consenting adults be too big? The number is 888-477-9499. The email is studio2@whyy.org. And so what are some of the real world challenges, Justin? Because everybody, you know, there's benefits, you know, there's pros, there's cons. Can we talk about some of the pros and cons of age gap relationships?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, every relationship is a mixed bag,
Yeah.
right? Where there are going to be some benefits and challenges. In terms of some of the unique challenges of age gap relationships, one of the biggest ones I see consistently is that the partners are sometimes just at very different life stages. And as the caller just mentioned, if you have one partner who is of retirement age and the other partner who is significantly younger and won't be retiring for several years, that can create some conflict, right? Because the partner who's retired might want to travel the world and take more vacations. And they might just have different priorities. And if their partner is still actively working and is going to be working for several years, it's hard to maintain this the sort of same lifestyle there. So that I do see as one of the biggest challenges. Another one is the issue of health. A lot of age gap couples will bring this issue up where the older partner at some point might start to experience a health decline and the younger partner still has many more years ahead of them and very good health. And so health can be another issue. Another one is also sexual desire discrepancies, right? Sometimes the older partner loses desire for sex faster, and so that can lead to issues where they're not always on the same page sexually.
You mentioned earlier, you touched on the fact that Gen Z, or like the younger generation, seems especially skeptical of these types of relationships. And, there's been, I think, a kind of a past decade, a much more of a conversation and understanding about power and power balances and what different groups or people bring to different dynamics. Do you think that Gen Z, to I guess put it broadly, is overblowing that, or what's your thought on how that conversation's happening in the younger generation?
I mean, from what I've seen, they just seem to be highly sensitive to this idea of age differences and tend to equate it with exploitation. And Gen Z, from what I've seen, and I don't like to talk about people generationally in terms of like as a monolith where they all
Sure.
think this, but in terms of some of the things I've seen younger adults say, even smaller age gaps of, 4 or 5 years, they consider to be problematic as well, right? And so, just even what an age gap relationship means seems to be viewed very differently by different generations today. And I do think that people often make a bit too much of age gaps, and again, we're assuming this is all between consenting adults here, right? But I think people just often make these assumptions that the older partner has more power, more money, and they're the one calling all the shots, and that there's something coercive, abusive, or exploitative about that dynamic. And I think that gets to a bigger question of, well, how do you define power in a relationship? People tend to assume that whoever has more money has more power, but also attractiveness, youth, can also be power in a relationship too, right? And people tend to not consider that in the same way or through the same lens.
Yeah, let's bring in another caller. We have Michael from Philly on the line. Michael, you're on Studio Two. What's your question or comment?
Hi. Yeah, I just want to share my experience as the child of parents with a 30-year age gap. And they met through work, and I think we're attracted to each other because of intellectual similarities. My dad kept himself in really good shape and was very active all the way through his 80s and only kind of declined in his late 80s and 90s when he passed away a couple years ago. But my comment is really just like, again, as the child of someone in that situation, I'm ashamed to say I was like aware and kind of embarrassed of it. But then I also, as I grew older, I also kind of came to accept it. I loved my dad very much, but it was also kind of like awkward sometimes. Like at the grocery store, they'd be like, "Oh, you're, going grocery shopping with grandpa," and he'd have to be like, "No, actually, like this is my son." So it's just an interesting experience, but I'm very grateful to him for like making sure to keep himself like healthy and active while I was growing up.
Thank you. That's
Great call.
Michael
Thank you.
From Philly. We're coming up on a break in about a couple of minutes, and so Justin, I mean, there are some you mentioned that there th this big gap, but I mean, you think about it. If two people have a lot in common, right? They're two adventurous people, and they have a 20-year gap. I mean, you can have a lot of good years together before someone goes to the health challenges or decline. And do you hear that from couples that folks just sort of focus in on the time that they have together and not really think about what the future could hold, for example?
Yeah, I mean, certainly there are discussions about the future in these relationships, but there is often this big emphasis on let's make the most of the time that we have, and we'll cross that bridge later when we come to it. However, some do engage in more active planning, right? Especially if this is something they're planning to be a very long-term relationship, they want to make sure that each partner is taken care of, right? And I think that that really gets at the core of these relationships because a lot of people assume that it's just this purely transactional thing. But there's love, there's depth, there's emotionality to these relationships. And when you have that care there, there is some thinking about this is how we're going to plan for the future when these challenges do arise.
Yeah. Quick follow-up question. Janet says, what's the age gap required for it to be a May-December romance? Are we talking, does it have to be at least 10?
So in our research, we've defined age gap relationships as typically being 10 or more years, and it's still an arbitrary cutoff, but we went with 10 because that's a difference that, for most people, regardless of where they are in life, might carry some social meaning. Where, for example, they might be at different retirement ages, or they might, be at different stages of life.
All right, we'll leave it there and we're going to take a quick break.
Yeah, we'll be back with a couple who has a 26-year age gap. So really interested to get their take on this. The guy's 26 years older than the lady in this point. So love to get
the
their take.
Details.
We're going to get that. And we are still looking for your comments and calls at whyy.org. Or I'm sorry, studio2
at
whyy.org. We'll be right back and stay tuned.
Supporting WHYY, Penn Medicine is helping to find new cures for cancer. With life-saving clinical trials and advanced surgical techniques, Penn Medicine is offering more hope for patients everywhere. Learn more at pennmedicine.org/cancer.
And welcome back to Studio 2 here on WHYY. I'm Cherry Gregg.
And I'm Kevin McCoury, and for Avi Wolfman-Arendt. We're talking this hour about age gap romance and if the difference matters in relationships between consenting adults.
Yeah, joining our conversation now is one age gap couple who found love online. Christine and Eduardo have been together for 3 years. They're engaged, and he's 26 years older. Christine and Eduardo, welcome to Studio 2.
Hello.
Hello. Welcome. Thank you.
Yes.
And we're asking you, our audience, how you feel about age gaps in romantic relationships. Can the gap between consenting adults be too big? Call us 888-477-9499. Email studio2 at whyy.org. And if you're following along in YouTube and Facebook, drop a comment in the chat.
And so, Christine and Eduardo, we're going to jump right in. We're friends now that you're on Studio 2. And so I just wanted to get the details. Like, so you met online. Was age, did it come up right away? How did age factor into your attraction and work yourself into the relationship when you first met? Did you even notice or care?
Well, from the beginning, I've always been attracted to older men. So I purposely put my age range higher than normal.
And Christine, I'm just curious, like, I've kind of been playing the role of skeptical dad on the program this hour. How have the men in your life responded to this relationship?
Everybody loves him. Everybody loves Eduardo.
So
we have no problems with that.
There was no friction, no conversation with your dad. He didn't pull you aside, nothing like that?
To be honest, I don't even think my dad really knows his true age. He's never even asked.
Yeah, I have to say you're a very attractive couple. But Eduardo, I read in our notes that you tried to shave off a few years. A little nervous that Christine might be, taken off given the 26-year age gap. How many years did you try to shave off? And Christine, did you figure that out pretty quickly? Go right ahead.
Well, I have to admit, it's not about shaving off because I feel inferior in any way. But the fact that the algorithms are involved, for me, I've had no problem dating younger women most of my life. And so that energy of the younger personality, more vibrant, was really more of a match for me. So it's difficult when an algorithm is trying to choose for you versus I'm trying to choose. And also when it comes to women that are interested in lively, older, mature men, I think there's an exciting part to that that really helps, younger women meet someone that matches their energy level, not only the energy level, because the initial conversation is about personality, right? And we all know that the ages of men versus women is a mature difference. I think Justin hit on that a few times. And so, you know, a younger woman can match up with a younger man very easily, because of course we all know we take longer to mature, right? So the young kid is young and same age as Christine. She couldn't match with somebody her age necessarily. So that's what happened with us. And for me, it was really more about connection. And I think Justin was hitting that as well. It's about connection, in my view, matching with somebody that you can speak to, have fun with, having great adventures with, but also can just be sitting on a couch reading a book together and have complete synergy together. That's really what matters in my view. And that's what we have found.
Eduardo, do you have kids from a different relationship or?
I do. I have four daughters, and I heard the father, or what about my daughter? And yeah. My focus is love. My focus is happiness and joy in life. And we have life as, you know, we have enough stress and noise, life noise. I think when you can find someone that can help you facilitate life or go through this journey that brings joy to you and releases stress. To me, my daughters, you know, are all younger than Christine. All I want for them is happiness. All I want for them is the right connection that makes sense for them. And I think what we suffer in our judgment nowadays is exactly that. Oh my God, the older guy is taking advantage of my daughter. I don't see it that way.
And I wonder, because one of the things that Justin brought up, and we're going to bring Justin back in the conversation in just a moment, was the reaction from other people, like the couple themselves. And I'm assuming that you guys do not give zero Fs about what other people think about you. But I wonder, has there been any friction in the sense that the reaction from other people? I mean, I mean, looking at you through, you know, you're on Zoom. I mean, I wouldn't necessarily have a reaction, but I wonder, has there been reaction? How did you deal with that? Is it more from other people versus internally between the two of you?
Yes, we definitely have gotten a lot of criticism, a lot of hateful comments on social media. But mind you, these are people that we don't know, therefore we don't really care about. At the beginning, it was a little bit rough. We were like, wow, this is extreme. People are very mean online. However, in our circle, in our family, in our personal life, we don't have that because the people that know us and see us happy are happy for us. So people online are criticizing us off of a 6-minute video. Mm-hmm. I get called gold digger. He gets called, you know, PDF, whatever they say. It's extreme. Yeah.
I'm curious if, you know, if there's other people out there who might be entering into such a relationship in the future, if you could give maybe a pro and con advice as people get into this, like things that they should be thinking of, if you each could do that. So like Christine, like what do you think that, you know, a younger woman who's about to be in a relationship with an older man, like what's something that they should consider? What's the benefit? What's potentially the friction point?
Well, piggybacking off of what the caller said earlier about the retirement phase and you know, all of that, I think that that is an extreme, a big, big factor to think about when, you know, deciding to engage with an age gap relationship with someone older. Because when it comes to the woman being younger, that's actually a pro. You know, you retire, the man is older, he's retiring earlier, or, you know, when he's supposed to retire, but for you, it's called technically earlier. He's financially stable, so you're definitely going to be able to do more, build together. It's endless. Now, the con is definitely going to be the side eyes from older women looking at you like, look at this young girl taking our men or whatever. Uh-huh. And, you know, maybe some family and friends, the criticism. However, you just have to have a backbone and love wins. That's it.
Could you do the same, Eduardo?
Yeah, I think that the programming, I think, and mainly the States is the biggest issue, the judgment. I've traveled a lot of Europe, and right after my divorce, I didn't realize how most everybody is in an age gap relationship. When you go through Italy and all European countries, it's just a standard, normal thing. So it was no big deal. It was really an eye-opening event for me. It just happened to be something that continued in my life. Mm-hmm. You know, post-divorce. But I just want to reflect back to the point that any relationship you get into, no matter what age, if you have the man or the woman, by the way, talking about power, usually the woman is in charge of a relationship, not the man. Okay, it doesn't matter if we have the money or none of that. There's a lot of women, so let's be clear about that, right? The women are always in charge, right? We just say yes, and everything works out. So I don't know if Justin, you can quantify that, right? So yeah. The reality is that the perspective is the relationship is based on what works for both people.
Yeah,
you know, I'm 60. Okay, I'm riding my bike, you know, across country every year. I have a huge energy level. I'm going to continue to travel. But if I find someone who's 30, who doesn't want to travel or doesn't want to be a psychic, in relationship to the age gap, I think that the focus kind of slides into a kind of sneaky place of, quote, sexual, or I'm taking abuse because sexual, when it's all about who connects with who and how you connect.
And I want to jump in because we only have three more minutes in the show. I want to bring Justin Laymiller back again. He's the senior research fellow at the Kinsey Institute and host of the Sex and Psychology podcast. And Justin, I want you to kind of respond to this because I want to flip it as well, because you have Eduardo who has the age is older than Christine. But I want to play a quick clip before we go, because Chelsea Handler recently went viral because she's usually the older person now in her relationships. Take a listen to what she had to say.
I was dated 40-year-olds when I was 20, 50-year-olds when I was 30. And then I was 40 and I'm like, I'm not dating 60-year-olds. Like, I got to flip it and reverse it, you know? Yeah. So now I'm heading in the opposite direction because I'm too hot to be dating a 65-year-old. Let's be honest. I mean, I don't work this hard on myself and take such good care of myself so that I can't have fun and, you know, have a good time.
And so, Justin, I'd love to get your thoughts. And then, you know, as we get ready to wrap up in about 3 minutes or so, but I want to get your thoughts on some of the dynamic flip, because, you know, Eduardo and Christine talked about, you know, some of the issues with the man being the older person in relationship. But there's now been this trend where women are the older person in the relationship. And they're doing it for the same reasons that Eduardo's doing it, because of the energy levels, the adventure levels. Can we talk about that? And if we're seeing more of that flip?
Yeah. And before I answer that, just to build on one thing Eduardo said, you know, we have some data where we've looked at perceptions of power in age gap relationships. And what we actually find is that with younger women and older men, younger women perceive themselves as at least being on par with their partner, if not having more power in the relationship. So it runs contrary to what the stereotype is. But in regard to age gap relationships where the woman is the older partner, it does seem to be on the rise to some extent. And it does seem to be something that is more socially acceptable than it was in the past, where a lot of people now see this as being an empowering choice for women in terms of pursuing their desires and doing what it is that they want. But a lot of these older women are saying that they're finding a younger partner because they want somebody who can keep up with them, right? Because, for example, sometimes the men their age might not, it could be sexually related, but it could also just be in terms of energy level, just wanting somebody who can keep up, right? So that there is certainly some truth to that.
And that speaks to, I guess, the larger historical point too, that just was not possible for many women throughout history. And you've had this vast revolution in, you know, the rights of women in the past century, and that has allowed this to even occur, right?
Yes. And, you know, one other interesting point here that we found in our data is that older women dating younger men actually are reporting very high levels of satisfaction on average, and actually are reporting being more satisfied than women in other relationships, right? Whether they're younger or the same age as their partner. So there's something about that dynamic that I think for a lot of older women is empowering to them, allows them to pursue their desires, and also sometimes creates more equity or equality in the relationship because it flips the traditional heterosexual power dynamic on its head.
All right, well, we had a lot of fun this hour, Jerry.
This was a great conversation, and I want to say thank you so much to Christine and Eduardo, our age gap couple. Congratulations on your engagement. Do you have a big day set yet?
Thank you. We're thinking spring of 2027.
All right. Well, we wish you the best. And also got to say thank you so much to Justin Laymiller, Senior Research Fellow at the Kinsey Institute and host of the Sex and Psychology podcast. It was so great having you, Justin.
It's always a pleasure.
Today's show was produced by Debbie Builder, Hazel May Bryan, and Paige Mary Bessler. Al Banks and Mike Schiffler are our engineers. I'm executive producer Kevin McCoury.
And I'm Cherry Gregg. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you on the radio tomorrow.